Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful, poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings, my dear friends, and welcome yet again to Dog Poet Transmitting, our more or less weekly radio broadcast. Hoping to bring the spirit of the ineffable out a little more into the manifest realm, where there isn't that much ineffable as far as I can see. Should I walk into a mall, because I have no choice but to do so, because something I need is to be gotten there, I don't hear people talking about the ineffable. People walk by hammering on their cell phones. Are they trying to place a call to the ineffable? That's doubtful. Nor do I think there are text messaging the ineffable either. I don't know for sure, but I'm just getting the sense of it that this is not what is taking place. I look at the menu boards at the food kiosks, and I do not see a single item that features the ineffable. Granted, the ineffable probably doesn't eat at the mall food kiosks, but I don't know that, do I? Maybe that guy in the ball cap with the mirrored sunglasses is not just some guy who thinks he's Tom Cruise or Larry Ellison. Maybe it is the ineffable. And he's wearing the sunglasses because he has those laser eyes of love, and also because he's humble and sometimes comes across as shy, and sometimes it can be something mysterious, too, which could explain the sunglasses. Then again, it might be Tom Cruise or Larry Ellison in the flesh. They have to be somewhere, right? Why not there? Somehow I doubt it, though. If I go into a coffee shop, which I seldom do, so I'm probably projecting. Wait a minute. Occasionally I'm in a coffee shop because someone wants to meet me there or insists that I come in for a minute, but I don't stay long. I'm digressing. Anyway, I don't hear people talking about the ineffable in these coffee shops unless I'm talking to someone. Half the time people's eyes glaze over like one of those donuts at Krispy Kreme. I've never been in a Krispy Kreme, so I'm projecting again, and I have no idea if the ineffable has been in a Krispy Kreme, but it is said the ineffable is everywhere, and also that everything is made out of the ineffable, so I presume the ineffable has been in a Krispy Kreme donut shop, and that every donut is simply another permutation of the ineffable. Still, this kind of theorizing can get murky. Does this mean the ineffable is a Coca-Cola? And battery fluid? Dog vomit? Okay. I'm getting a little graphic and strange, but isn't the ineffable in everything? I'm illustrating this the way I am to make a point. I could have gotten thoroughly outrageous about it. Use your imagination. My point is that there is something about it all that includes us, and that is what we make out of everything and how we make it and what kind of reverence or complete lack of it we put into everything we make and name and define. We make things well when we make them with love. And that is why we should do everything we do with love or not do it at all. When I think about love in this regard, I think about St. Francis. He was a good example of that, and his love was expansive and electric. It touched other lives. It touched the hearts of animals. You have to have a certain power and quality of love to achieve that. That falls into the area of empathy, and in this coming new age, we are going to see empathy increase to a noticeable degree. This is the age of brotherhood on our doorstep. And brotherhood has a great deal to do with empathy, and it also has a lot to do with an individual effort at self-diminishment in favor of the greater good. In other words, brotherhood is not an expression of self-interest, except insofar as it serves our higher interests overall. Brotherhood is about service and sacrifice in its truest sense, and Jesus Christ exemplified that as much as anyone I've ever heard of. Jesus Christ is supposed to come back again, and this clearly means to me that he comes not as some specter in the sky, but in the hearts of humanity, in every heart where he is welcome, and that is what these times are all about, and that is what the tribulations are all about. They are about seeing what the direction of your heart is and what results from your efforts or lack of effort. We are put through the things we are put through to see what we are made of. We are given things, and things are taken from us to see what we are made of. I've been watching this sort of thing for a while now. I've been watching people to see how they are in certain times and in other times. I've been watching to see how people take events, what they read into them. I've been watching to see what the limits of friendship are, whether the friendship is real or whether it flies away with the fair weather birds. I've been watching myself as well to see how I take this and that, and it is not an easy thing to watch yourself. Often these days I will catch myself while I am speaking. Instead of just letting myself go on about something, I find myself dropping back at moments and wondering what it was I just said and what it means. I find myself staring off into space often, as if some part of me expects something to appear there. I lay in bed at night, and the oddest things sometimes occur there in the darkness. Sometimes the voices of the creatures of the night all suddenly run together, and I can hear a language being spoken out of the weave. This is not the voice of the creatures, but something else coming through the mix, as if the entirety of the mix were itself another voice. When I lived in Italy, there were moments when the wind would move through the olive trees, and I could hear voices. Sometimes they were speaking, sometimes they were singing, and it was often not about the present moment, but about things coming. It was a most uncanny experience. I could hear what I was hearing distinctly, but I couldn't make out exactly what was being said. I was able to get an accurate sensation of the meaning of what was being said. No, that's not exactly it. I could get a feeling for the meaning of what was being said or sung. It was a feeling. It is similar here. It is always something that happens when I am in nature. I don't get that experience where nature has receded or been pummeled into submission. We hear a lot about how the world is changing, and often not for the better. Because we are in it, we do not see the speed of the transitions. Sometimes we do not see what is in front of us as it is, because the manner of change is hidden from us by the repetitive patterns of the day-to-day. We change too, and we often do not see the nature and results of the change because of the same repetitive patterns and because we are too close to ourselves, and the coming and going of everything makes us more subjective than objective. We really need to keep our attention on the objective view of it all. I've been working out considerably these days, the last few months, more so than at any other time in my life. It is odd that I would be as involved in this at this stage of my life when it would be more usually something one would engage in when they were a youth. Even stranger is the ease with which I am able to do it. It is as if I'm not doing it, but it is being done through me, and I've been directly told that that was the case. I must say I'm very pleased about it. Some of the exercises I'm doing, I am now able to do more of them than I've ever done before in my life. I don't know what to think about that. But once again, I'm very pleased because it seems to me that it means that I'm going in the right direction. The world is changing, and we are changing, and we are consciously involved in our own changes, or we are simply being changed without any conscious participation on our part. That is not the way to go. Life is a team sport between you and everyone you come into contact with, or between you and the ineffable, because you see everything in your life as some variation upon your relationship with the ineffable. What does the dictionary say about the word ineffable? It says, incapable of being expressed or described in words. Inexpressible, ineffable joy, not to be spoken because of its sacredness, unutterable, the ineffable name of the deity. That word, ineffable, comes as close to my understanding of the nature and meaning of God as any word ever has. I see the divine as being incomprehensible and immeasurable, inexplicable and indefinable. I do not believe I will ever understand the divine. I believe it is possible I might be able to understand myself, and that the more I do, the more I will be able to understand the ineffable in a personal way, but never in a comprehensive way. I believe we come to a stage, and possibly a number of stages, where there is nothing we can say because speaking fragments the unity of it. I believe that if we are sincere and dedicated, that we merge ever more and more into the ineffable, and that we become ineffable ourselves after a fashion. I believe we come to a time where a form of intoxication descends upon us, such as that which is experienced by some number of the mystics that have come and gone over the centuries, the dervishes and saints. A type of ecstasy descends upon them, and they become senseless, which is what happens when you move beyond the bandwidth of the senses. I long for that divine intoxication. I've had it on occasion, and it is a truly blessed event. It takes some awesome effort to get to the point where it gets conferred on you with any regularity. I'm guessing you have to earn it, and I haven't yet. The thing is that I don't know how to go about it. The ineffable is inscrutable and incomprehensible, so it is hard to know what you have to do to get certain things. Do you pray harder? Do you up your focus on all things ineffable? Is more service required, or is it just one of those mysterious things for which you never get an answer, and then one day it happens, according to some unknown reason? One day you're just there. One day it happens. I long for that divine intoxication. Of course, a person like me isn't satisfied by normal experiences. I wore out my interest in most of them a while ago. Either the thrill was gone, just got up and left, or the price of admission was too much because of the cost of the exit. Some things are easy to get into, and much harder to get out of. Down here, just about everything costs something, and a great deal of the time you don't know what the cost is because it's lost in the fine print, which you don't get to read, and there are all those additional fees and some that are kind of intangibles. Well, maybe the word I want is not intangible. Maybe the peripheral is a better word. I'm talking about the cost to your health and the cost to your emotions and your mind, as well as all kinds of attrition that comes along with doing the things everyone else does because we're supposed to gain some pleasure or satisfaction from them. I'm guessing I'm just not made like most people because most all these things leave me hollow. I suspect that eventually they leave many others hollow too. It just takes longer. In some cases, the desires intensify and become obsessions. These people are headed for hungry ghost country. These people wind up haunting those locations where they used to satisfy their appetites. And that can mean strange environments indeed. They're trapped in the lower astral realm in search of a vehicle to exercise their passion, whatever that might be. We don't have much in mainstream literature on what can happen when you leave this plane. Scripture is vague in general, lacking in specifics. There are books that talk about it, but they're not easy to locate. You have to know what you're looking for. It's possible to be able to travel to these locations if you have sufficiently trained the mind. The mind is an unruly creature, and most people are not up to the task. Nor does it even occur to them how very, very important this is. Despite the presumptive imaginings of our personal ego, we are far greater than we know, but we do not possess either the reverence or the humility to achieve that greatness. It is within our reach, should we have access to the wise counsel of our author, who seeks with an indescribable passion to elevate us to the highest station of them all. My friends, we have come to the end of another broadcast. And I'll see you next week, if there is one. I ask you, please, in the interim, aspire to the presence of the Almighty and seek with all your heart to be equal to that. Strive within your heart to contact the presence of the ineffable and to activate it within your being. All sincerity, all true and intense sincerity of this type will be rewarded. Believe me. That said, Om Amitabha, Hare Krishna, Allah Akbar. Much love, Lady Nature. Greetings, my dear friend, Lord Ganesh. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Haru!
He's strong and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. You can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.